From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tillman's Corner, Father Stephen Verzell. And now your host, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Pat Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Pat Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. And we're here in studio with Father Victor Ingalls and with the Archbishop.
Pat, it is a pleasure to be here with you and all those who are joining us in the broadcast.
Thanks for having me as well. Good to be here again.
Yeah, we're missing Father Rozelle, but glad you could join us. Archbishop, we live in just when you thought it was about as bad as it could get with coronavirus, it seems that things have gotten darker. So we're going to just kind of talk about life as we're going through it right
now.
Some
really tough times. Maybe we begin with a prayer.
Please.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, dear God, we turn to you and we pray for your spirit to be with us in our country, to be with us in our hearts. Help us to build mutual understanding, mutual respect, truly a respect for each other's lives. To build a society that reflects the goodness of who we really are. Be with us in all things as we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Pat, I'll jump in.
Okay.
You know, everyone's aware of the tension, the division of our country. We saw George Floyd in Minnesota, while in police custody, die. We watched him die, and we were outraged. I'm outraged, and I think that is a widespread reaction to what we looked at with our own eyes. At the same time, we're outraged by the violence in our streets. You know, that is distracting, that's hijacking those who peacefully protest, witness to a desire to create a better society. And not only that, but which has caused people to lose their livelihood, to lose their jobs, to lose their places of business, and worst of all, the deaths that have resulted in the violence on the streets during these demonstrations. So there's a lot to be outraged about. We all know that. We've all seen it. The question is then, where do we go from here? Because we're living in a society where racism, it's a complex issue, and it's not going to be resolved easily or quickly, because it's a situation that has developed over 400 years. And that whole history, with its complexity, it is not something that will be easily addressed. As much as we may want it to, it won't be. But just because the solutions may elude us, may be difficult, may take time, that doesn't excuse us from doing nothing. Even though it is a four centuries old situation, that doesn't excuse us from making more progress than we have, moving the ball down the field, so to speak. We can do something, even if we don't totally solve everything overnight. There are things we can do right now. And so I think that's a question maybe we can talk about. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, Archbishop, I think that's kind of the question. Where do we go from here? One quote I came across earlier this week, somebody posted on the internet, but it was a quote from a speech that Dr. Martin Luther King gave in 1967 entitled The Other America at Stanford University. And the piece of it that really caught my eye was he was talking about riots in his own day, 1967. And he was saying he was vigorously condemning riots. And he was saying, I believe in nonviolence. Even no matter how bad things get, like, there's never a good excuse for violence. It's not going to help anything. And he goes, I always have, I always will condemn violent expression. He said, but we have to understand that riots do not appear out of thin air. There are certain conditions in a society from which they emerge, and just as vigorously as we condemn riots, we need to just as vigorously condemn the conditions from which they emerge, the brokenness from which they emerge. And he said, in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And that last part really resonated with me because, you know, he's saying just like today, like as you just said, Archbishop, these riots, it's tragic to see that because we're seeing a violence kind of fighting fire with fire, like one violent act and another violent act. So it's kind of tragic that we're kind of missing the deeper thing. But he's saying there's something, riots happen when a group of people feel unheard. They feel misunderstood, and they don't know how to express themselves in any other way. And I think that's that idea of being unheard. How often do we take the time to actually sit down and hear the people's stories in our lives? Now, today it's very much, you know, racially, like, you know, white people, black people, Native American people, Asian American, everyone has a story to tell that needs to be heard. There's stories of triumphs, but there's also stories of deep sadness. In just our American history, you said about these four centuries of American history, do we take the time to hear those stories that people have to tell and how they feel? It's one thing to hear, okay, here's the facts of what happened and here's statistics, but are we willing to sit down and listen to each other and be like, here's how I feel about this? Last thing I'll say, one very positive thing, just talking to a local Men of St. Joseph chapter, they had their meeting this past Wednesday at Heart of Mary. And they were saying there's like 15 guys there, half black, half white. And they had the chance in the wake just to share with each other how this made them feel, how it resonated with them. And from one of the guys who attended, he was just saying it was so powerful. It was such a healing moment just to be together and to be able to share with each other, people from different races, from both sides, how is this making us feel? And what can we do in light of the gospel that they were meditating upon for this coming Sunday? In light of the gospel, how do we move forward? Like with the light of Christ, like that's the light that's going to pave the way. I found that to be at least one example of maybe what that looks like.
And it's that listening that is so important, and the willingness to tell the story.
Yes.
And that's challenging.
That's hard.
That's painful. This is not an easy process to go through, because we have to admit our part in creating the situation. And all of us have a part in creating this situation. And it's for us to be willing to admit that and to talk about it. You know, one of the images I use is marriage counseling. You know, I've spoken a number of times in my life with couples that are having difficulty in their marriage. And when the couple comes together, if one says to, they say to each other, it's all your fault. No, it's all your fault. It's going to take a long time before progress is made because they're both blaming the other. But just as difficult of a situation is when one of the parties says, it's all your fault, and the other one says, you're right, honey, it's all my fault. That's also going to be a long time before real progress is made because they're really not willing, one of them is not willing to tell the story of, well, honey, I think you have a part in this too. And to be able to listen, it's really when a couple is willing to say, we both have to take responsibility for what we're dealing with, to listen to each other and to address it together, that progress can finally come about. And everyone, every group has their story to tell, as you were just saying. You know, African Americans have their story to tell. Whites have their story to tell. Native Americans have their story to tell. Hispanics have their story to tell. Asian Americans have their story to tell. Every group has a story to tell, and it's for every group to be willing to tell their story and for every group to be willing to listen to the stories, and for everyone, no matter what group we're in, to admit I have had a part in creating this situation.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Father Victor in studio with us, with Archbishop Brody and Pat Ahrensberg here. And we're talking about, you know, the scourge of racism and how it's rearing its ugly head right now. And I guess one of the things that comes to my mind when I hear you guys talking about stories is it humanizes. When I hear your story, I can no longer have a caricature of you.
Right.
You know, you see this in road rage. People are driving down the road, and what happened? Well, the blue Dodge cut me off. No, yeah, but no, it's Tommy driving the blue Dodge is who you're really angry at. But it's hard. It's harder to get angry at Tommy. It's a lot easier to just have vitriol for the blue Dodge.
Right.
And when you get to know Tommy and his life and who he's married to and his family and his story, you can still be upset that he cut you off, but you're not going to be as violently opposed to him as a person. It's just not, it's not natural to be that way. And so I think that's part of why it's so important for us to hear each other's stories, to really get to know the person.
Yeah, and the as y'all talking about hearing stories, I can't help but think this. Recently we celebrate Pentecost. And it says in Acts chapter 2, it says, "Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. They gathered in a large crowd, and they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language." And I think that's such a powerful image. Like, we're talking about being able to sit at the table with people different from us and understand their story. At Pentecost, God gave us a foretaste of what that is possible. But it is only possible with the gift of the Spirit of God. It's only possible united to God. It's only when we actually unite to God that we start to see each other correctly. You know, and I think we've all had a moment in our life where we've seen somebody, whether it's because of race, because of money, because of social status, where we've seen somebody and said, "Nah, they're not. I'm not related to them. They're other." You know, and we kind of write people off. We judge them kind of blanket because, "Oh, well, you live in this neighborhood," or, "Oh, you know, you're from this race." All that whole attitude fundamentally comes down to sin. And in King's quote, going back to his quote, you know, there's certain conditions out of which a riot emerges. The basic condition that we're dealing with as people of faith, we can't forget, is sin. Like, there is something broken in our world that puts us at odds with ourselves. Like, we are at odds with ourselves. You know, we have these wars in our minds. We're at odds with God. We're at odds with our brothers and sisters. We're at odds with creation. And we need God. It's not just helpful to have God, but only with Him as a friend, only with His grace working in our life can that be healed and for us to put into right relationship with each other. And I think that's a really important thing for us to remember, particularly as Christians moving forward, is that, yeah, we can sit down and listen to each other and be empathetic and all these things, which is important, but we need God's help. Like, we need to ask Him to help us and to do something just as real as in Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Something supernatural happened for people from every nation, understood each other, heard each other's story. We need His help to do that same kind of thing. As y'all were talking about hearing, I couldn't help but go back to Pentecost and think about that moment. And it was time. I mean, this is all happening at the same time. We're celebrating Pentecost, and this whole thing's happening. The stark contrast to me was hard to not notice.
You know, there are certain realities we cannot escape as humans. We hear people say, "Well, you know, you're not getting out of this alive. Everybody has to die." Well, the other reality is that in heaven, we're all in complete union with one another in God. Any division that you feel here has to be purged before you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And any division you feel here is preventing the kingdom of heaven from being present here and now. You know, Jesus made it clear the kingdom is here now, and it's going to be fulfilled as well. It's a both and. And it's incumbent on us to work on getting rid of those divisions between brothers and sisters, because it stops us from being who we're made to be.
Yes.
I was made for heaven. And in heaven, I'm in union with everybody else in heaven in God.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
But Christ helps us to see things as they actually are. we see things in a broken way. We see things with kind of foggy lenses, but he comes to help see ourselves and others as we actually are. We already are brothers and sisters. Like we're the human family. God's created us. Like we're all together, even more deeply, you know, as Christians. But it helps us to discover, you know, it's the eyes, it's learning to look at yourself with the eyes of faith. Sometimes we look at ourselves and be like, oh, you're a piece of trash. We can't see anything good in ourselves. You know, we can struggle even personally with having self-esteem. But it's a, we're not seeing ourselves as God sees us. We're seeing ourselves in like a broken way. And if we have issues with ourselves, like how much more do we incorrectly see each other? But to be able to get to this deeper level, like, okay, we all belong to God. We all call him Father. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. Everyone that day at Pentecost from all these different nations who had all these different colors and different languages, they all were, God is our Father, you know, then we're all brothers and sisters. It's reality, you know, but it's just getting in touch with reality. Easier said than done.
Much easier said than done, right. Because it's very hard to accept diversity. It's much easier to live with division, because it's just when someone is different from me, that can be discomforting. You know, it's much easier to be with people who are just like me. And that isn't just with race. That's with politics. That's with religion. That's with anything. You know, studies have shown this, that people gravitate away from someone who's different. So if someone is liberal, they tend to gravitate away from having friends who are conservative, and vice versa. We're much more comfortable in being with people who are like us, and that makes us comfortable. Athletic people like to be with athletic people. These are studies there, because there's a comfort to that. But diversity, as difficult as it may be, comes from the spirit. It's division that comes from the evil one. And so we must overcome our natural desire to be in our space and be willing to accept the diversity that God has created.
Such a great point. As you're speaking, I'm thinking of Jesus saying, look at the pagans. Even they love their own friends. Even they love who are like them. There's nothing special about that. Even the pagans do it, he goes, but I give you a new commandment. You know, love one another. Even love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, and it's a challenge that he gives to us. You know, he did not just stay in your comfort zone. You know, and we can see other enemy, those who's persecuting me in so many different ways. Oh, this person's liberal, they're persecuting me. Oh, this person's from this group, they're persecuting me. But Jesus is saying, this is actually the novel thing that I'm going to help you to do. And in the larger context, I think as we talk about the scourge of racism, we talk about different groups coming together, it's important to remember, like, this is not just a part of God's heart. This is his whole heart. This is the end all be all of what he cares about, is all of us loving God, loving neighbor. And he chose one country, Israel, and he used them as a country to particularly draw all nations and all cultures into one family. You can read about in Revelation, you know, all of God, you know, of all, you know, to make a kingdom of races, of priests and prophets of all countries and all nations. So what we're talking about, this is not new. This is not like a niche area of Christian life. Like, we're looking at the whole enchilada here. Like, this is actually what the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit care about.
That's what they are.
Yes.
As well. They are unity within diversity.
Yeah, and that brings maybe back to what I said at the very beginning, that in this complex situation that has been centuries in the making, what can we do now? And as a country, as Americans, we can open our hearts to each other and to tell our stories and to listen to each other and to not let anger, not let hatred guide our ability to listen. guide our willingness to tell our story. And we can do this not only because we're Americans. As Father Victor, as you were saying, you know, we have a deeper motivation. We as Christians have the ability to bring even a deeper reality, a deeper dimension into this effort to speak and to listen, because it is foundational to our faith that we respect human life, that we respect the dignity of one another. We have a much deeper motivation than people who are not believers, who will be motivated also to speak and to listen, God willing. But we as Christians have a deeper motivation and a calling to repent. And all of us are called to repent of our sinfulness, to repent of our contribution to the situation, and to forgive. And every one of us has to be willing to forgive. As Christians, this is foundational to our belief, to repent and to forgive.
It's so strong, and I think we have to consider, as we repent and forgive each other, how is our witness as Christians in the body of Christ, baptized Christians, like, how is the way in which we relate to one another any different than the pagans, going back to Jesus' quote? How is the way in which we love one another, listen to one another, collaborate with one another, celebrate with one another? How is it any different than the rest of the world? And if it's not, if we're living in a very comfortable box, as Archbishop was talking about, where we don't have to be stretched and we don't have to deal with personalities or races or ideologies that are outside of like our comfort zone, how can we really call ourselves Christian? What is distinctive about our lifestyle than anybody else? I think that's something we really ought to be challenged by, and I don't know exactly what it looks like, but if we look at our day-to-day and the way in which we act, we deal with diversity, and it's the exact same as the secular world or people who are, you know, just non-practicing Christians, I think that's kind of condemning of ourselves. Like it's time to repent and do something else.
You know, and I think a lot of times it's easy to see people of other races as other. But, you know, our Father doesn't look at us that way. And I think of being, you know, sitting on the porch and my kids are playing and a fight breaks out. And two of my children are at each other. That's painful for a father. And I don't want them to reach out to each other as brothers and sisters, not just as somebody. And I think that we need to take that same paradigm shift in our minds and hearts, that this isn't somebody other that I'm reaching out to. It's my brother in Christ, that God looks at us the way we look at our children. And, you know, Archbishop, I've heard you tell stories of people who are irreconciled and how difficult it was on the families, a lady wanting her family over at Thanksgiving. There's something poignantly painful when families are disunified or at odds with each other. And that's what the world is right now. We see it through a different lens, but that's not how God sees it. God sees his children at odds with each other.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, there's obviously a lot of stories happening right now across the country. You know, and it's easy to kind of say, okay, well, this happened here, and so, you know, everybody react. But if we're going to actually hear each other's stories and come together as brothers and sisters, to not get so overwhelmed by everything going on in the world that we don't have enough energy to deal with, like, what's in our backyard, to deal with, like, who's in, lives on our own native soil, if you will. Anyone making the connections to nativesoil.org, check it out. We're talking about these issues there as well. But thank you, Archbishop, for the nice lob. let's look about in our neighborhoods, in our towns, what can we do? The people that we know, the people that we see in the grocery store, the people that we're connected to, it begins there. That's where we can make a difference. Not that we can't play in the larger, but you don't have a voice at these larger stages until you deal with the foundational kind of stuff first. So I just think that's an important thing to think about as well.
It's like the Serenity Prayer. Grant me the wisdom.
Yes.
To know the things I can change, you know, and the things I can't. And or as Mother Teresa of Calcutta when she was asked, what needs to change in the world? And she said, me. And if that's really our attitude, what's the greatest need for change in the world? Well, Mother Teresa's answer was very simple. It's me. I need to change. And if each one of us took that attitude, it would be transformative, not only of our hearts, but it would have ripple effects beyond anything we could probably imagine.
I love that. You reminded me, I was just reading about St. Catherine of Siena, and the writer was saying she lived with such freedom that it bothered people, because she dealt with the rich, she dealt with the poor, she dealt with people from different sides of the track, she dealt with different races, with this freedom of love. Like the love of the Father kind of possessed her in a certain way. She did not care what people thought. She did not care if she was in a physical or worldly way related to the person. She just loved with this freedom that was shocking. And I think she's a great example, you know, for us today.
Amen. Archbishop, will you close us in a prayer with a blessing as we wrap up?
Oh, dear God, we live in difficult times. We deal with the coronavirus. We deal with so much financial difficulties as people are unemployed or underemployed. We deal with the outrage of all that is going on. Comfort us in our hearts and help us to let your light shine through us to others. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And may the blessing of God be upon you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.